Welcome to Awakening Plus. It's July 28, 2022, and this is Ask Us Anything. So I'm currently here with Laura and Jeannie, and others may join us or might not. We'll just kind of play with how we lay. So welcome, ladies. Do either of you have a question you want to throw out in the ring as we start?
Well, maybe I can find this on your website, but when is your next, healing immersion?
Meditation? Oh, the unconditional love immersion?
No, the healing one, individual and group healing.
Oh, I haven't scheduled August yet, but, we always have it every month. So it'll be on one of those Wednesday nights. Is there
earlier
a Wednesday
in the month or later?
I haven't decided yet. Do you have a preference?
Yes, I'm potentially going to have a procedure, so
okay.
I would like to.
So if it all worked out, when would it work best for you to do the unconditional love immersion next month?
You do something every Wednesday, is that right?
Yeah, so if you could choose, you can tell me what Wednesday you'd like that to be.
The 3rd would be great, 3rd or 10th, but...
So
third
August,
would be great.
August 3 or 10?
Yeah.
And 3rd would be even better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sooner
All right.
rather than later.
All right. I'll see if that works. Thanks. People rarely request a particular date for a particular event, so it's good to have a preference in the line.
I didn't know if you had like a set that you did. So
I usually just figure it out at the beginning of each month. So, I mean, there's some pattern to it, but it's flexible. Okay, cool.
How's Spirit Song doing?
She's doing great. We just had dinner, and she won't be able to join us tonight, but she's feeling good and has great energy right now. Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
I see that Janice has joined us. Welcome, Janice. Feel free to unmute whenever you like.
Okay. Hi.
Hi. So, Laura popped in with a quick question, and... Of course, this is Ask Us Anything. So do either you or Jeannie have a question you want to throw out?
I just have a comment about for anybody that even on the Nest calls on Monday, the new Earth support team, if I make the intention at some point that, you know, if it works out, I intend this particular healing, it works. And so I hope it's okay to say, Benjamin, but, you know, I get unexpected healings at just about every event.
Good.
Okay. Is that all right to say? I mean, I know it's not.
You can say anything you want here. I don't have any censorship going on. So what I heard you say is you get unexpected healings in just about every event, right?
Right. I make the intention, but then I don't expect it because, you know, what if it's all about something else, you know, or what if I need an upgrade instead of a healing,
right.
You know, so I make the intention, you know, and just about always feel like I got some kind of healing.
So is it usually what you ask for, or is it something different sometimes?
It can be something different. You know, like I'm thinking it's this one organ, but no, it's really to work on that organ. They need to go to another organ.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's beautiful. Yeah, that's perfectly kosher. So, you know, we have the energies there and you have free will and you can do with them what you want. You know, it's not interfering with the group energy or I would have felt it. So that sounds fine.
Okay.
So, you know, I have my way I teach all this stuff and my preferences, but I recognize that everyone has their own way of doing things. And you are free to do stuff like that. As long as I don't feel a glitch in the field from it, then it sounds fine.
Right. Well, I'm always listening. So if you were to ever say that, I would know.
Yeah. The only times I think I ever feel glitches in the field is when someone is using effort.
Trying well, to make the intention that I don't even think about it until
good.
An hour after the call. You
know? Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I do the same thing in ayahuasca ceremony sometimes, you know. Most of the time it's just, you know, mother knows best, just do what I need and let it go. But sometimes I do make specific requests. And
oh, do you?
Yeah, but I do the same thing. I say, you know, Mother Ayahuasca, if such and such serves highest good, I'd love to receive this blessing. But if not, fine. And yeah, I now release, I've made my request. I release it and just give me what I need.
Yeah, I pretty much do.
Yeah. And since ayahuasca is such an integral energy of what we do here, even though no one's drinking anything, you know, this kind of the same rules apply.
Yeah. I felt it pretty strong on I don't know what night. I don't know if it was Monday or Wednesday of this week, but I felt a really strong ayahuasca feeling, and it was kind of.
Yeah, she's always here, and there's times when I feel her presence quite vividly within any of our events. So she's always welcome.
And you call her grandmother sometimes?
Is that true? that's common. Mother, grandmother. Grandmother is more commonly used. People
I know. Okay, I just wanted to make those comments.
Okay, thanks. Risa, hi. Welcome. So anyone else got a question?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
How do you, I don't know if there's an answer to this, but when you're clairaudient, how do you know that you're making the highest connection? Like when you hear something, you know, can feel right in your heart. Sometimes I'm totally not sure who's speaking to me. But I think also a part of me, like I'll ask, who's talking to me? Then my ego, I think, still has an issue with that anyway. Like, oh, I don't know if I want to know. Or if it's Saint Germain, then my lack of self-esteem shows up. I know it's like a mixed bag.
Okay.
And I just don't know how to trust. You know, it's like, are you Saint Germain or are you my daily guide? And what's a daily guide? You know, like what level, where are we? I don't know.
Well, I have a thought or two around that, and then anyone else can jump in if they've got additional stuff. As I said in my Work With Your Divine Allies course in Awakening Plus, if a being shows up and you didn't specifically invite it in, then you test it. So I always, you know, if I have my allies blast whatever just showed up with the most intense white light I can, super strong, and watch how it responds. And if it enjoys the light, just soaks it in and seems really happy, then we got a helpful ally on our hands. But if the light makes it uncomfortable or it runs away or, you know, in any way shows that it's not comfortable with the light, then you've got a being you don't want to mess with, is my experience. So that's how I would test anybody. Now, it doesn't give their identity, but it just makes the fundamental definition of, is this a being of love and light that I want to work with, or is it some dark being showing up to try to mess with me? Does that make sense?
And that makes me uncomfortable, you know? Like,
what makes you uncomfortable?
Like, do I trust what I hear?
Well, the first thing to do, I would say, is do that test. And if the being demonstrates that it's of love and light, then you probably can trust what it says. Okay. But remember, too, every being works from its own level. And that being can only give truth from its perspective. So even if it is a love and light being from level, like if we're level A and you go up through A, B, C, D, E, F, higher, if it's a level B being, then it's not going to be able to give you level C or D truth.
Right.
You know, a classic example, I don't know if you're familiar with the Law of One channeled material.
Yeah.
But Ra, this being who's from, like, there's seven densities, and he's like from mid, or they are from mid sixth density, way billions of years beyond us. And right. Occasionally they get asked a question that we don't know. We're not there yet. So even a being as vast and advanced as that still has areas of ignorance. So I'd say just understand that a being, you know, truth is relative to its level. The truths we hold, you know, as absolute here in 3D Earth may not apply at all next level up, you know, or there may be larger, more, you know, big truths that encompass our littler truths here and make those earth truths. Yeah, they're relative to Earth in 3D, but these fourth truths are larger and hold a greater energy. They don't contradict the third D, the 3D, but they go beyond it. I hope that makes some kind of sense.
Yeah.
And in terms of just trusting what you're feeling, if you're intuitive and empathic, I assume you have ways of feeling correct and incorrect things and getting yeses and nos and whether that's some kind of muscle test or just a resonance in your body. Do you have like those barometers going on that can give you checks on if something is truthful or not?
Yeah, I do kinesiology. Mm-hmm. I also work with a pendulum sometimes.
Okay, good. So have you found those tools to be reliable? Have they proven?
I'm equally uncomfortable with all of it because I'm going, Janice, is that your ego? You know, who's talking? And did you let go? Are you coming from your higher self?
Right. Well, and again, that's also an infinite spectrum. You know, I've had so many experiences of awakening to a level and it felt so complete when I got there because it was so far beyond what I'd known. And then later I went deeper. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I've gotten initially when I was in my awakening phase, I was always asking, am I awake? Am I awake? I've learned since then the proper question is, am I awake enough to do mm-hmm. a certain thing? Because none of us, I don't know if it's even possible in a human body to get to us beyond a certain level. That's one thing that Law of One, that Ra says there, it says Earth isn't about gaining ultimate knowledge of anything. It's about choosing your path, service to self or service to other, and the greater understandings don't come till you're in the higher dimensions. So, you know, all that, I have this very layered perspective of things because of all this. So what you could do is simply ask the being who it is, if you're not sure who, and
I think I block it every time. It's like
you block.
I want to know, but I don't want to know.
Well, so are you channeling only for yourself, or are you channeling for other people?
For myself.
Okay. I can't. What I'm feeling, since you're asking my opinion, you've got a part that is resisting the channeling, and. Mm-hmm. is scared of some negative consequence coming from it. So it's sort of like, you know, putting up its hands in defense when you're doing it.
Right.
It would be helpful, since you're channeling, to maybe do some IFS work on that part. You know, go into the membership and do that course on internal family system therapy that's in there if you want, because it guides you in and out. See if that's, a lot of members have found it helpful, you might too. But address that part directly and call up the part that is uncomfortable with channeling and work with it. You know, I still, after all these years, have a part of me that thinks all this spiritual stuff is just nonsense. It's not a very big part, but I hear it once in a while. This massively skeptical part thinking, are you sure you're not just deluding yourself? But so I get where you're coming from. And the beauty of the IFS perspective is it lets us know that when a discordant thought or emotion comes up, it's not all of us. It's just a little wounded part. And we can accept that it's happening and know there's a lot of other parts that are doing just fine. Is that helpful? I've kind of rambled on a bit here. Is any of this helpful?
No, that's okay.
To your question?
It's good. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So is any of that helpful? Any follow-up questions on any of that?
No.
Okay. Does anyone else want to jump in with any insights for a question?
I've been practicing type of intuitive reading for about 2 years, and it's helped me with exactly what Janice was asking about, because the instructions are, okay, you have like 3 questions and the instructor draws a number, but you don't know what the number is and she doesn't know what the number is, so she can't, you know, telepathically, all of a sudden, you know, everybody knows what number we're doing. And some people who are really good at it, 3 questions isn't enough. They'll just know right away. And she changes it to, you know, 6 questions or 12. Anyway, so say there's 3 questions. And people who don't know how to do it, this is the instruction. It's like whatever you're drawn to immediately, it's like, you quiet, you know, you do a maximum embodied awakening or some such thing like that. And whatever you're drawn to is where you start. And then if you're drawn because somebody distracted you or, you know, it was thundering, you include that. You include every single thing in the reading. So So that way you don't have to question, oh, is this part of the reading or is this, you know, my ego? Or, oh, is this my ego or is this my higher self writing this down? Because sometimes you have to answer questions for other people too. And anyway, it's like the fastest, our brains are just so fast that the first thing that you go to is usually pretty spot on and probably not your ego. And, you know, that along with what Benjamin said about, you know, using your checks of one sort or another, I just wanted to add that in there, that you just go to whatever your focus is. And if your focus goes to yes or if it goes to no, or I do better when I don't ask yes or no, when I just say, what, you know, what do I need to know about this? Or, you know, some general question. So I don't know. Maybe that's helpful. Maybe it's not.
Thank you, Jeannie. Anyone else have any responses to Janice's questions? Looks like no. Okay. All right. Any other questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
And guilty as I'm saying, I know part of your website, Benjamin, is invocations, and that's what your book is going to be about.
Yeah.
And I haven't gone to that part of the website, and I was thinking, oh, I'm going to look forward to your book because I'm more of a reader of a book that I can hold than I sit on the computer with my back issue, you know, like, I want to be on the recliner with a book. That's it. So my question is what's going to be in your book similar, different than the invocations, you know, or is there more to the invocations on your, you know, when I think of an invocation, I'm thinking not of listening to something or participating in anything. It's just, I'm reading it and I'm taking it in.
Right. Okay. So, The answer is the free thing I give away, which is 6 parts for anyone.
Yeah.
Is the first 6 of the course inside Awakening Plus. And there's a total of 16 parts currently inside Awakening Plus. That material became the foundation for the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I transcribed all that out and started there, but I've got quite a bit of additional content in the book that was not in the course. Once the book is published and in fixed form, I'm then going to re-record the entire invocation course within Awakening Plus and base it on the book. Because I recorded that 2-3 years ago and it was kind of just rough and a little off the cuff. And I can see some things I wish I'd done better. So I'm going to do it better once the book is there and it's in a more concrete form. So maybe more answer than you wanted, but is that?
No. That's good. I said, don't ask that question. Go to his website this weekend and sit there and listen.
That's fine.
And so that's what I've said a lot of times, and then I don't do it.
It's okay. So basically, the book will not only be everything of relevance that was on the website, but a bunch more.
Okay.
Yes, because when I got into a book, I said, I'm going to expand, and I actually did a lot of research and added other ways of using the invocations that were not in the original course. Now, not everything in the book is going to go back into the Awakening Plus course. Some of the content wouldn't be appropriate there, like in, you know, testimonials and stuff. But the course is going to get a nice, juicy upgrade, you know, once I complete the book and make time to upgrade the course inside the membership.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, the book is designed to have everything I know about invocations in it. So, like I said in the preface, I've held nothing back. Thank you for the question. What else y'all got? Just some sweet energy. Thanks for that. Thank you, allies. So anything else anyone wants to bring up?
I have other questions, but they really, I don't think they're for the whole group. It's just directly to you.
Oh, you mean you want me to be the only one who answers them?
Well, yeah, unless somebody else lives in Asheville.
Not to my knowledge. Sure. Well, there was plenty of time, so jump right back in. That's okay, Janice.
Oh, okay. I was supposed to move to Asheville 8 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was down there twice, fell in love with it, the energy. Mm-hmm. It was like where I was supposed to live.
Right.
The deal that I was working on just wasn't working out. Mm-hmm. I go, I can't do this anymore, or whatever. And then there was an emergency in the place where I was living. I had to get out of there immediately.
Mm.
And I ended up here for the last 8 years.
Where's here?
Oh, my God. East Meadow, New York.
Okay. Thank you.
Long Island. And there was, I never really connected with her, but there's some psychic healer or whatever that has classes online. And she lived in Asheville. Mm-hmm. And after all these years, she's moving to Tennessee.
Okay.
And I said, how come? She goes, Asheville is not the place to live anymore. And I was surprised to hear that. And I am on a website there called Next Door. Mm-hmm. And I do hear about the area that I was planning to move to.
Yeah.
They built all these apartment buildings. It's too crowded. It sounds more like Long Island now than the peace that I felt when I was there.
So let me pause you there, Janice. The Ask Me Anything is really designed for matters that would be of general interest to everybody. If this is a question about Asheville specifically and whether to move there, it's probably not appropriate for this context.
Right.
Is this a broader general question that would benefit others to hear, or is this just...
Yeah. Okay. So here I feel an energy. So it's probably the same thing as hearing, right? I also am an empath, so I feel energy. The time, it felt right.
Uh-huh.
And I guess a lot of places are shifting.
Mm-hmm,
so how do you know? I heard spirits say to me, I've been looking for different places to live on Long Island. Uh-huh. And I heard a message from spirit, and it was adamant, we move out of state. I don't know who spoke to me. I don't know what it was. And I go, oh, here we go again. You know, mm-hmm. I go, it would all be, for me, energy.
Right.
And I know this is not the right energy. I'd rather be on a farm someplace.
Okay.
Whatever. How do you, I don't know how to, you know, how do you judge it? You know, do you just ask other people? Like, all of a sudden, everybody's going to Tennessee.
So I'll give you my own experience, and then I'd love for others to chime in if they're called.
Right.
You know, when I get intuitions like that, I don't hear them from a specific being with a personality. I just get it from the divine field. And the same if I'm leading an Awakening Plus call, you hear all the allies I call in. But most of the time, there's just a knowing that is just there. It's not from a particular being. It's just from the field. So for me, my guidance comes from the field. And
interesting.
I don't have to know who it is because there is no particular personality. It's just the field. Okay.
Oh, that's so interesting. I never thought about that.
Well, that's my experience. But everyone, you know, different people have different realities, you know. So for me, that's how I just have this feeling when I get a knowing, I just know. You know, like I say, there's a full body yes. There's an absolute certainty when a true intuition pops in.
Mm.
And that's how I know. The way I commonly, and I check, I feel confident about this because over the years, as I've done one-on-one sessions, I've asked hundreds of clients, how do you know it's an intuition or not? And in all those years, what everyone agrees on is that when it's a real intuition, there is a gut knowing. They know it in their body. The moment it arrives, there is absolute certainty in that instant that the information comes in.
Mm.
And everyone agrees on that. Right. And now some people get tingling, some don't. Some feel electricity, some don't. Okay.
Yeah, sometimes.
But those other things are just, they seem to be true across the line, and I feel very confident that's how I tell if it's an intuition or not. Because regular thoughts don't feel that way. The regular thoughts don't have anywhere near that resonance. They're all up in my head, right? So if you can make that distinction, that might be how you tell. Is that helpful?
Yes, yes.
And also, even if beyond that, the part of you that will still doubt, and it probably still will, you know, some action is better than none. You know, I sometimes tell the story of my own life where until the age of 41, I was living in Oklahoma, you know, doing a corporate sales job. And then finally had the courage to move here to Asheville with the intention of being a singer-songwriter, right? and that did not work out. After a few years, I saw there's no way I'm going to make a living at this. It's too hard. But synchronously, even before that, I got synchronously involved with astrology, and that led to shamanism, and that led to the invocations, and that led to life coaching, and that led, you know, to all this other stuff. So in pursuing seemingly the wrong thing, it all turned out well. Mm. So what I've learned is that, you know, I'm a big believer in momentum. You know, if to the best of your understanding, there's a certain direction to go, then go there. And even if it's not the ultimate destination, what I've seen is that when people have momentum and they're in motion and going towards something, then it's so much easier for spirit to steer. I'm sorry, for spirit to steer. Forgive my nonsense there. The analogy I like to use, and I apologize for those who've heard this before, you know, if a train is idling at the station, nothing's going to happen. Put that train on the track and get it up to high speed, then it can switch tracks, you know. And until I left Oklahoma to be a singer-songwriter, my life purpose train was pretty much idling at the station. Not much happening. It's only when I got my ass in gear and vowed that I would live my life purpose the best I could that I got momentum and things really went into gear in a much more serious way. So in your own case, you know, don't, you know, there's no certainty. And, you know, what I mean is I feel I can be certain with my own guidance, but there's no certainty of exactly what will happen. You can follow your crystal clear intuition toward a certain thing, and it may end up turning out different. And maybe that initial thing was necessary to get to the other thing. Like with me thinking I was going to be a musician and ended up doing all the other stuff, you know? So that's why whenever I set an intention, I say this was something better. Because that's what happened to me. You know, the life I'm living now is so much better than the life of a touring musician, you know, way better. Mm. So I don't know if any of that's helpful.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay. Any other input from anyone on her question?
What's come to mind for me, and it's not something I've thought about before, but it's just in response to you now, is if you think back on things that you were certain about in the past, that you, even if you did them and they didn't work out, but you feel really clear about having done them. And remember how that felt to you. And see what the messages you're getting, the intuitions you're getting, see if they feel, how it compares to the things that you've felt in the past that you're just sure about. Even if they didn't work out, but that you're glad you did them. They were really clear. And you're just, you know, you have no regrets about those things. And compare that feeling to what you're getting when you think about the thing you're asking about.
Yeah, I'll throw a little PS on that. Sometimes, even when you're doing the highest action, it can, in the short term, lead you into significant challenge and difficulty. There may be a lot of dust in the air. So sometimes even the correct action will bring difficulty for a while. But once the dust settles, you say, wow, it was tough getting through that, but I'm in such a better place now than before I made the shift. Mm. So difficulty does not mean you made the wrong choice necessarily. Mm. And I'll just add on, you know, maybe it's a 62-year-old brain, but, you know, there's certain things that I just can't get to logically anymore. I can think, my mind works the problem fine, but I can find great evidence on both sides. It's kind of like all the, you know, people so polarized with one view or another these days, they all seem to have, you know, masses of evidence supporting their view, right? It's hard to make a definitive yes or no statement, right? So I've learned my best source of action guidance is just my intuition. You know, I can make a great case either way. I can lawyer it up either side. But, you know, my intuition knows. That's one thing I say in the book, actually, is the mind thinks, but the higher self knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was my little PS. Anyone else have any thoughts on her question?
I was just going to say there was somebody that was going to move or wanted to move to Tennessee. And she asked the instructor, you know, I asked, you know, Spirit to give me this song. And if I heard this song, then that would mean yes, that it was yes on the move. And, you know, I don't know what to do because I heard the song on the way home. And then when I was opening my door and then I opened my door, I heard the song again. And then the next day I heard it. And then I heard it. And then I heard it. And I still don't know what to do. that was pretty funny because he just sat there and listened to her because he couldn't believe, you know. Everybody in the room was like, how many signs do you have? And she finally said, well, my family is where I am. And, you know, I just feel obligated to, you know, be with them and, you know, or, you know, around them. And he said, well, human beings are like one of the few animals on the planet who stay connected to their extended family or their original family their whole lives. It's, you know, it's very, you know, most animals sort of get out of the nest and go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of his arguments. But anyway, I just thought I'd mention. And the other thing he told her was, okay, so you're still confused. So this is what I'm going to tell you to do. It's really, really hard. And if you can do it, it's going to really, really work. I have this cat that's just, I don't know what's wrong with him. Never done this before. He said, okay, for 3 days, live with you are moving, period. Don't even think about the other option. And then the next 3 days, you live with you're not moving. You're staying. You are just not moving. And if you have to, you can't even for like an hour, a half an hour, 10 minutes, think about the other option. You have to stick with the one that you're on. And he said, if that doesn't work, then you have to do it for 7 days.
No.
You have to, you know, I am not moving or I am moving. And you live with each one for 7 days. And he said, he'd never, you know, had anybody that didn't figure it out after that. But he said, it's really hard because your ego keeps, you know, wanting to say, weigh this, weigh that, weigh this, weigh that. It's, you know, it just won't let go of the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, it sounds like, oh yeah, that sounds pretty easy, but oh my gosh, it's 3 days is a long time to live with whatever you're set on. It, anyway, I just thought I'd mention it in case, you know, spark some other idea.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, that also included the idea of asking for confirmation. So if there's something you're not sure about, you can ask again, ask, you know, if, you know, please speak a little louder.
True.
Yeah, you got to be careful that once I asked for a particular song to come up if I was supposed to do something and it kept coming up over and over again that I realized I had my Spotify set on repeat. Doesn't count. That was a joke. Yeah, there'll be parts of you that'll fuss and fight even when it's the right thing to do for the rest of you. So I've found that IFS perspective so helpful that there are parts of me that are more and less resistant to things and Not letting the one part rule the whole show is really helpful. Anyone else got anything?
So, Benjamin, you, after your last ayahuasca, you did a Ask Anything, and it was suggested that you lead a group, and you said, I've never thought about that before, I'll have to consider it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if that's still something you're considering. Because I would definitely be interested.
Oh, that's nice. Not this year.
Right. Obviously not this year. I mean, that, you know, that takes such planning.
Yeah.
Anyways, and people need to save up and you need to get prices and stuff. But, you know, I'm just putting it back on your radar for sure.
Yeah, such a thing is conceivable. I do know of a situation where a shaman I trust does take custom groups like that. So it's a possibility. So, you know, right now I'm more than full with the book and the new podcast and everything I've got going on this calendar year, but nudge me again next year. We'll see if there's a little more space for something like that. Thank you for the reminder. Anybody else got anything? Going once? You got something, Janice? No, you're just laughing at my little... Going twice? Any question you got that's relevant for Awakening Plus?
Well, we have our companion animals here.
I see.
So if you have any, just something general about them.
Something general about pets or cats or?
Yeah. About our pets, the roles they play.
I hadn't really thought much about that. What comes to mind is, I grew up with dogs, but in my, you know, latter life have had almost entirely cats. And I've had many cats who were really powerful healer cats. I had one Cleo that if I had a client in the house, I was working with shamanically and, or astrologically, if that person was upset, more often than not, she'd come right in and like sit on the person's lap if it was okay with them and hold space for them. I remember one time I was experimenting with a mind altering thing from the head shop that was legal. I forget what it's called, Salvia Divinorum. And I smoked a little of that and laid down and felt like I was kind of tumbling down into the ground in the inner world. And my cat came right up on my chest and would not leave my chest until I'd come back. It was pretty amazing. So, many pets, like cats especially, are very sensitive to that kind of thing, and they can assist and act as healing conduits and protectors and things like that. So those are just a couple of, you know, stories that come to mind around that, Risa. So I've had a really great, you know, great allies with my cats, you know, over the years. I don't have any pets now, but for many years I did. Anyone else have any pet ally stories or anything like that?
I do. I've always been a dog person. Had a few dogs and had a rescue dog. And I never cared for cats particularly, except when I was 5 years old, I used to rescue them on the street and bring them in. But anyway, and when I moved here, there's a pathway behind the homes and there are cats that wander that. So the first one I called a rescue and they adopted, and I got it adopted within one day. And it was, they sent me a picture and she was being hugged and I was happy. I said, oh, that's great. The next one came along and I think she adopted me or I adopted her. I don't know, but it's my best friend.
Aww.
She's a stray. I thought she was a feral. I didn't understand cats. So I Googled about cats. I called before, right about COVID time, I called all the rescue places. Nobody would take her. Nobody would help me. And I said, okay, I have a new friend. I don't get it, but why does she do this? And I Google everything. So I've learned about cats. I put her on a diet similar to mine, which makes me laugh. It's the most expensive food out there, but that's okay. And it's funny when I look and I said, okay, are you a reflection of me? There's something about her because I'm very much alone. You know, and there's an aspect of that, and I'm looking at her and I go, oh, interesting. I said, you should have the same love and compassion you have for this cat. So it's been 2 years, and she's been terrified of people, but I actually started rubbing her neck. She loves her neck rubs. And a few weeks ago was the first time she actually allowed me to touch her whole body. I take my hand and it goes way across. I go, it's really amazing. So it's like, she's very purposeful in my life. You know, it's just, you know, who's healing who and who adopted who? I don't know. I don't know, but animals, they are amazing. A friend of mine was one of my students. I'm a Reiki master, and this goes back years and years ago. And she turned around and she told me, she goes, your dog is a master embodied in that pet that you have. I never really got that. I said, nah, that can't be possible. But who knows? Who knows who comes to keep you company? I don't know. So I love cats now.
Yeah, I'll throw in another quick story. With the ayahuasca shaman I work with here in this area, sometimes his little dog is there at the ceremony. And that is the smartest, most tuned in dog I've ever seen. It's not, it can't be just a dog because it, during the night, will go for the person in the room. It's a little.
Oh, he's back. Here he is.
I don't remember what part of Texas you're in.
Near Dallas.
Oh, okay. I lived in Denison for a little while.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're getting some rain. They had a little bit of rain. I was so, everybody was so.
The spotty rain. It's hard to be in a drought, especially for a place that's green. I remember just some of the droughts here. And it, there's that background anxiety of just knowing everything is so needy around you. It's just, it kind of permeates subtly into everything. I found it very difficult.
Yeah, there's a whole town. I mean, a whole town. I mean, I don't know how many, at least 10,000 people. And this morning, is today Thursday? Yeah, this morning, as of this morning, they have zero water. Zero. Oh. It's not going to have any more. So what? So all these people with homes just have to drive away, or do they have water, you know, trucked in? I don't know, but it was like, oh my gosh, this is so sad. And they're saying if we don't cut back, if, you know, every person doesn't cut back 10% in 30 days, we're going to run out of water. It's like, it's just really, really hard. So many people have moved here. It's really crowded now, Risa. Whew.
Remind us where you are, Jeannie.
Near Dallas, and Risa lived just north of here, and there are 400 families a month just moving into to this one real popular small town. And then I said there was another small town that, as of this morning, they had zero water. So I don't know if people are trucking it in, or they just left their house and moved, lived somewhere else for a while. I have no idea, but it's really sad. The weather, you guys that are getting rain, it's like, oh, you know, some people are getting a foot of rain. It's like, well, I'm a little bit down here.
Yeah, climate change is the real deal.
I work with the weather a lot, Benjamin. I talk to it. I have the astrology, some of the asteroids that are for weather and storms and whatnot. And I can usually, you know, help out a little bit, but I keep getting from them that, you know, it's going to be, it's, there's nothing, It's like they can't work it out. They can't, they're just like, yeah, not right now. And it's like, I've never gotten that before. Mm. It's really strange. Anyway, so that's what we were talking about while you were gone.
Okay.
When you were frozen.
Yeah, sorry. We have a guest here who went online and there wasn't enough bandwidth and it buttered me off. But she's going to stay off until we're done. So we'll be okay. Sorry about that. So I don't know when I cut out, but was I starting to tell the story of the ceremony dog?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, but this little dog, I mean, it's just stunning how it knows exactly which person to go to who might be having a hard time or need a little affection. And it's just super alert. And that dog is like got an IQ, a higher IQ than some humans I know. So, yeah, that's another example of an amazing pet who's extraordinary. Just a reality check. Did y'all stay together fine while my signal was out?
Yeah.
All right, good. I'm glad. Thanks. So any other stuff you want to ask about?
Can we ask an astrology question? A general one, not a personal one.
Okay, ask it and we'll see.
Now, I can't remember what you wrote in your thing, but Jupiter is like going retrograde now, right? Like tomorrow or today.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it's going to be that way. It's a large planet, it's an outer planet. It's going to be there for a long time in retrograde.
Well, like Jupiter retrograde usually about 4 months, typically.
Okay. Oh, I thought it was like February till it was going to...
I could be wrong. February? Nah, it's not going to go that long. Let me just...
Okay.
Real quick. I'm going a month at a time here. Oh, he's direct there. No, it's not going to be nearly that long.
Oh, but I thought it was like going to go forward and backward a couple of times before February and then finally...
Oh, no, Jupiter doesn't work that way. Jupiter only retrogrades about annually.
Okay.
And only for about... let me just check how long it's going to go this time. Bear with me. There it is. It's going to be late, around Thanksgiving, when Jupiter goes direct again.
Oh, well...
About 4 months. That's typical for
Jupiter. Is there some other thing where, you know, I've had two different astrology, you know, when I'm doing housework or whatever, I'll put on something. And these two completely different people were saying, oh, yeah, if I didn't do this today, I was going to have to wait till February. And then the other one was saying the same thing. It's like, yeah, you can't do anything. It's like you're just frozen.
Were they discussing electional astrology?
No, they were talking about personal. They're like, you know, this is like the beginning of this week. And they were saying, well, if you don't get it done by Thursday, then just, you know, you can't get it done. Don't start anything new. Don't go anywhere new.
And they're saying that applies for months on end.
Yeah. And I was busy doing other things.
That's not the kind of restrictive astrology I practice.
Okay, good.
That's using astrology just as a fear-based system, which is counterproductive.
It's like, if there's always some planet retrograde in there. I mean, like...
Well, no. There are periods where everyone's direct.
Right. But I mean, they're common. I mean, it happens.
Yeah, but again, like the outer planets, every year they go retrograde for 5 months.
I know.
You can't put everything on hold for 5 months, and that's crazy.
They're like, don't travel.
I think that's
both of them.
To me, that makes no sense at all.
Oh, thank you. Oh my goodness, I was so confused.
But there's a lot of astrologers out there who buy into fear-based interpretations like that, and you know, you can believe them or not, but that's not how I think.
Okay, well, that's good to know, and it's also good to know it's not going to be till February or whatever's going on.
No, I can't imagine any scenario where you'd have to not do anything until February. That's crazy. Now, if they're talking electional astrology, which is a very looking for really optimal dates to do stuff, then sometimes you can go a few months without a good date showing up. And then so a lot of dates might show up close together. But that's only for like major stuff, like I'm going to get married, or I'm going to start a major new business, or I'm going to buy a major
car. How about surgery? How about surgery or anything like that?
Well, surgery usually a little less restrictive, actually, because since you can rarely nail the time of the surgery, you go for days. And that's usually you can, how can I say this? I have elected surgical dates for many people who are doing electional surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find usually something decent within a few months, you know, depending on how particularly you are about the astrology.
Okay.
But I also keep in mind that, you know, this was developed back in the days when death was a common side effect of surgery because medicine was so primitive.
Mm.
You know? And these days, you know, the majority of surgeries go well, regardless of the retrograde or whatever. So
even the full moon surgeries go well. And they used to, you know, it wasn't that long ago, like in the 50s, when the result, you know, the research said, oh my goodness, do not have a surgery on the full moon.
Yeah, because you bleed out easier, you know.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Well, and there's true. I mean, just like the tide rises, the blood rises too under a full moon. But, but you know, medicine's gotten a lot better. And, you know, while I still will elect medical procedures, and I think it's a good idea, you know, it's no longer the deal breaker it used to be. Most surgeries go fine.
I think it's what you called them. I'm thinking ago when you said they were the restricted. What did you call the
fear-based.
Fear-based. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they were also, well, not both of them, but one of them was like, oh, yeah, and don't forget, the moon goes void, of course, every, like, 2.5 days. So, you know, can't do anything, can't have a surgery during that. And I remember when my husband had his surgery, I was terrified because it was not only void, of course. I think it was, like, something else, and it was like, oh, no. And, of course, it went fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, most surgeries just do really great all the time now.
Yeah, because, you know, back in the day when electional astrology was created, you know, surgery was a much dicier proposition.
Okay.
It's safer now.
Okay. And also, why, you know, nowadays with what we know about energy, it's like the way you teach. It's like, well, you can surf that energy. If it's going to be favorable for this, then, you know, use it. If it's not favorable, it's not a death sentence. It's not like killing something. It's just use that energy to understand that, okay, you know, maybe you need to change something a little bit or pay more attention to this, that, or the other thing, right?
I mean, all energy can be taken high or low, even if it's a hard aspect. You know, there's still a positive outcome that can come from that.
Okay, good. Because I was like terrified. It's like, how is the whole world going to do nothing until February? I was like, I don't know.
That's just crazy, in my opinion.
Okay. And then not only can you do nothing until February, it's like every time the moon goes void, of course, you can't do anything. It's like the moon goes void, of course, all the time.
Everything is good for something. I mean, the only rule I'm aware of on void, of course, is it's not a great time to start new stuff. The technical interpretation of beginning during a void of course moon is nothing will come of it. Is the classic interpretation.
They were saying, well, this one person, not both of them, expectations will not be met.
Well, that's a pretty bold statement for every.
See, they're into it. They're into fear based. Okay. Never mind.
Well, again, so my policy is if I hear an astrologer make a all-encompassing definitive statement that only something bad can come from something, then I don't believe them.
Well, this one astrologer, she is not taking any clients until February.
Whoa.
Because she feels so strongly about this. And it's like, wow.
So
I had to ask you. I just had to ask.
Her fear is costing her a lot of money.
A lot of money. It's a long time.
Yeah, and the problem is when you buy into anything that's fear-based, you creep a little toward the dark side. Because that's how it operates by fear, and fear creates control and restriction. And that's the path of service itself.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, so I try not to buy into that stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Now, fear has a place in certain life-threatening situations. If a wild animal is charging at you with malicious intent, you better be afraid and run. It'll get your adrenaline going. But to be afraid of conceptual things is less helpful.
I guess if you're afraid, then you just need to do an IFS.
Michael. Now, some fears are well-founded and should be observed, but, you know, the kind of thing you're talking about is just, I can't imagine any basis for what they're saying.
Okay. Well, it was interesting. A whole nother astrologer, she was like big on the Voida course, you know, and she went and she had a bunch of guests on. And by the time it was all over, about 6-8 months later, she came up with, you know what? It's just not as big a deal as I was making it out to be.
Good.
She was like, you know, don't make your new moon wishes right after the new moon. If it's void of course, you know, wait till it's not void of course and all this and that. And it's like, she's just not running her life by that anymore. She's just not.
And, Good.
And she was saying, you know, and when she started all this, it was because Obama, her opinion, he on purpose messed up his speech that you do on Inauguration Day. Mm-hmm. And he is like one of the great orators. So she was sure he did it on purpose. He messed it up on purpose because he has an astrologer. And his astrologer said, you're going to be making your speech and be sworn in during Voida course. Mm-hmm. So you can't do that because your whole 4 years is going to be all messed up. And then later, about, you know, a couple of hours after the ceremony, then he redid it, but it was in private, and then it wasn't void of course. Mm. So that's what got her started on this. And so what she ended up, and then here comes Biden, and his speech was during void of course. And I went, oh my God, is he going to flub up too on purpose? Is this going to be a thing now? And it's like, no. I mean, a person like that president probably wouldn't be in the mindset like that. So anyway,
I just don't go down those kind of rabbit holes anymore. Yeah.
Okay.
One case in point is Paramahansa Yogananda, who I'm sure you've heard of.
You know,
Civilization Fellowship founder.
Oh, yes.
Was, you know, he grew up in India where they have Vedic astrology, which is far right. more rigid and restrictive and feminine than Western. And he made it a point, if the astrologer said something couldn't be done at a certain time, he'd do it. He'd just prove the astrologer wrong, you know?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and over again, he was able to successfully get it done, but he had to admit it was a lot harder. But he got it done. So, you know, there's no energy that can't be overridden with enough willpower or intention or whatever. So, you know, the sky is not the only force at play. So
it's like you said, there's no force that can't be overcome if you're really super connected to source, right?
Well, yeah, I'm saying potentially. Now, again, like, you know, we found out that your planets aren't enough to go overcome climate change because that's an overwhelming force that's just too big to stop, you know. No amount of prayer to a planet's going to probably solve the Texas drought.
Right.
But, you know, you work with what you can. And I just don't like being over, you know, letting my life be made all tight, constricted by fearful things.
Yeah. You know, the professional football teams have all these astrologers and all these energy workers and good witches and bad witches on their side. And so is the other team, right?
Yeah.
So then who wins? Then this one theory was, oh, who wins and who wins in court cases? Because, you know, sometimes it's kind of like, I don't know who should win. So who ends up winning is the one, the side who is closest to source, has the most connection. Hmm. And it's like what you said a minute ago. If you're super connected to source, your fear is not the same. It's a lot less.
Yeah, well, the more awake I get, the less fearful I become, for sure.
I've seen that. Yes, you are a very good role model for so many reasons. That is for sure. You're pretty confident, and confidence is really cool.
Well, thanks. I just have been blessed with a lot of clearings of those old thoughts and patterns that were keeping me more fearful and more limited and whatever. So I highly recommend as much awakening as you can get on. Yeah. It's a good thing. Okay, cool. Any other questions about anything you all want to throw in?
Today was a new moon.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Did you make your wish? Do you do that?
Not usually. I'm at a point in life now where things are pretty much flowing pretty smoothly and consistently. And I find for myself, it's not really necessary to set a lot of new moon and full moon energies anymore because I know what I'm going to be doing and I already know what's on the agenda and it just kind of keeps flowing. So for me, it's more like just a smooth river all the time as opposed to a lot of inflection points.
It's interesting. That would be, it does make my life very jerky. And I did not do new moon wishes last time, and it was on my birthday and whatnot, and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I was waiting for some part of me to jump up and say, oh, you should have done it, you should have, and nothing jumped up, nothing. It was like, it's a lot, it's interesting you say that, it is a lot less herky-jerky to not go, oh, it's the full moon, I need to do releasing and forgiveness work, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I find my intuition is my fundamental guide.
Yeah.
And if I need to be getting something on, I'll get nudges about it and I'll start doing them. And I find that's a better guidance system for me than micro managing things like from astrology stuff.
Okay. Well, it took years to get to there. I mean, you didn't just do it for a year to get
your... No. This is a lifelong process. Okay. Yeah. And for some people, you know, even deeply awakened people, there's some who still closely follow the astrology and work with it. And there's no right or wrong, you know. My right. What works for
absolutely
me.
Absolutely no right or wrong. Absolutely. And
others who, you know, look very carefully at the energy of each day, that's perfect for them. Yeah. So.
Well, I think that's getting to be more and more the case with, I don't care if we talk about politics or food or, it really doesn't matter. It's like, there's almost no right or wrong. It's just, you know, it depends on everything. And that's becoming more and more and more and more apparent. However anybody wants to believe is absolutely fine. And whatever they believe is perfect for them.
Yeah. And also what I find for myself is it's okay for me not to believe a certain thing or even have an opinion about it. You know? So, you know, the questions around the vaccines and all that, you know, I don't know. When the time comes, I'll check my intuition, should I or should I not take a vaccine, and I just follow my inner guidance. And any other thing, I just let source guide me, and it's worked out pretty well.
Well, you've helped me lately with quite a bit of health stuff, and I was like, oh man, my intuition keeps saying, don't do this. But yet Benjamin and other people are saying, this is logic, and this is like, you know, it sounds like almost common sense. And I'm like, well, okay, just relax. Maybe it's a timing thing. Maybe it's just not right now. You know, it doesn't mean no. It just means not right now.
Well, I would always encourage you to believe your own intuition over anything I or anyone else says.
Okay.
I've said it so often. Your own inner guidance is the number one best source for information you could ever have. Who would know better than the divine being that created you? How could anything top that?
How could anybody know better than your higher self?
Yeah. It knows exactly why you're here at every moment. It's trying to guide you if the best you'll let it. And to me, that's the ultimate authority over anything and everything.
Well, I guess I just need to hear it. You know, I guess being a dual sign that likes to go back and forth so much, you know, like we kind of started the conversation with, you know, this and that, which one, you know, and it's all about intuition. And it's like, at some point, I just have to not trust others more than I trust myself.
Yeah. And in terms of me really stepping up and doing my own spiritual path, like Awakening Plus, it took me 60 years to get there, to have the confidence to say, I can do this. I don't need to be following anyone else's path anymore. I've got my path and I'm here to share it. And those who resonate will come, and those who don't will do something else. You know?
So do you feel like, oh gosh, this is kind of personal, but do you feel like you've gotten some sort of really big upgrade in like the last 2 months? Since you've been working on your book? Because I don't know, to me, it seems like you are just like, you know, your energy field is just so much cleaner and so much, I don't know, it's different. And you're different to me.
Well, I've had a number of ayahuasca breakthroughs this year. Sometimes I'll have a ceremony and something really big and profound will happen, and it makes a big shift, and then I integrate it. Even sitting at my mesa every day. I sit and shake at the mesa every day. You know, I raise my grandfather, and energies move, and things clear, and ideas come in. So I'm constantly working it, actually. You know, to me, that kind of thing is just a lifestyle now. So,
So
my major shifts tend to come in ayahuasca ceremonies, but I get, you know, frequent smaller shifts just in my daily mesa practice.
Yeah, I feel like I often feel ayahuasca in your our awakening plus.
Oh, she's, you know, I mean, she's, there's no separating me and ayahuasca. We're too integrated.
Well, it makes me think that if I ever went to a formal ceremony, that I'd be happy to pay the money, mm-hmm. and say, you know, I'm such an empath. If I'm in a room with a whole bunch of people who are doing ayahuasca, I don't need to actually consume it, you know, because
maybe not.
I'm just going to, I empath. Remember a long time ago, you did some other substances from a website of somebody you really liked. I don't think it was Alma. I think it was somebody else, but they have a website. You can go and you can get other things besides grandfather, mm-hmm. and other mixtures and essences. And you put it in your shell and you consumed it that way. And it was like,
oh, you're talking about the essences from Sai Ma.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I could feel the difference on every single one. And I knew which one you were doing without you even saying which one you were doing.
Oh, you are sensitive.
Evidently, with those substances, maybe it was a past life thing. Maybe I did it some other time, you know. But yes, it's like, I really do think that if I go to a ceremony, I'm going to go, no, I've done enough of Benjamin stuff. I don't actually have to drink it. I'm happy to pay my money and be here with everybody, but I think I'm going to empath quite a bit.
Yeah, cool. Anybody else got questions? Going once. Going twice. Sold. Well, thank you. It's been a delightful, delightful experience. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Next time I'll make sure the guest isn't on the internet. Okay, so thanks everyone for showing up. Thanks everyone who's been hearing this as a recording. Mm-hmm. And this is our last event of the month. So in a few days, I'll get an email out telling you what we're doing next time. So we've got two new things next month. We've got I mentioned this last night. We're going to do a event where you will come with your own custom invocation for a particular thing you're calling in. We'll all do our custom invocations at the same time. And then each of us will receive whatever we are calling in. But the fact that we're all doing it together will enhance the power of it. So I got this idea a couple of weeks ago, and I'm excited to try it out and see how it works.
I'm really looking forward to that.
And starting next month also, I'm going to have at least once a month an office hours where I'll just, I'm wanting to do this maybe in the afternoon on a weekday, maybe around 1 to 3 Eastern. That time should work well for a lot of people. And I'll just be there hanging out on Zoom, and anyone wants to come in and chat, we can do it. Kind of, it won't be recorded, it'll be informal, but it'll be above and beyond what we do here. So I just feel like I want to really be available for more support than I'm offering with this one event a month.
It's very generous. Thank you.
Awakening Plus is my baby. I really want it to be.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's a big deal for me. Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much, everybody. Love you guys. Thanks for showing up.
Bye.
Have a good night.
All right. You too. Bye.